Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall. Live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Two down, Jason Hayward the batter. And he'll drive one in the air, deep left center. This could leave the yard. It's got a chance. Gone. Jason Hayward.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to The Score. Yeah, that was, they were down 11 to nothing, and he hit a home run.
So you're the one, Ray, defending Jason Hayward.
I am a part of Radio 101 paying off the tees here. You guys talked about
look
it.
Yeah, that. Well done.
We got people that called in.
Well played. Yeah. Well played, Ray.
All right.
He found that home run, that meaningless home run.
I don't think it's been played since the day it happened.
I think we're intimidating people by asking them to defend Jason Hayward or to back Jason Hayward. Does anyone want to talk about him? 312-644-6767. Let's start with Mike. Mike's in Willowbrook. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm definitely not going to be the one to defend him. I mean, you look at it almost like Trubisky, even though the contract, you can only like a guy so far without him producing. Even though Trubisky never played on the other side of the ball, and Hayward has good defense, I think you let him get maybe the last few innings when you need it in the big games later on, but he's done. You guys said it right perfectly about Javi. His swing looks better from the left side, and that's that. Let Marisnik, Peterson, and Bryant play the outfield, rotate Duffy and Wisdom at third, however you got to do it. I think we cut our losses.
Interesting. Thanks for the phone call.
Yeah.
I find it, I wonder this too, Mully, and people maybe can look at it this way. 312-644-6767. We talked yesterday about the emotional attachment to Jake Arrieta with determining what to do about him if he continues to struggle and whether his place in Cub history, being part of that legendary team and what the role that he played in making that possible, factored into the decision-making about what to do now. And I do wonder to a lesser degree, perhaps. I mean, I kind of flippantly said to
yes.
Jason Hayward – had given the speech and whatever.
Right.
But he played a role in that team in
he
that
did.
Moment.
He gave a big speech in a
in
big
that game.
Moment. Yes.
Does his place as part of the core of that team play any role now in their insistence in continuing to trot him out there? And I know he's not playing as an everyday player as much as he was, but he's still there, and he's still there often enough to notice what he's not doing. Is this part of the sentimentality or this attachment that they have to him or respect for what he has done, even though there's limitations of what he can do?
I got to be honest with you. I think the only reason he's on the team and the only reason he's a starting player is because of his contract. And I think that when you go back and think about the World Series, he had a terrible year, and the impact of him talking after his terrible year is one of the reasons that supposedly people were listening and he had this great speech and what to say. I find the whole thing a little bit silly that somehow Jason Hayward willed the Cubs to a World Series, even though he didn't contribute much. And if you remember, he was the guy that was like, went in to yell at Joe. Like they, even at that point,
yeah,
they realized that they weren't getting enough production to justify having him in the lineup. And he had to go in and he was shirtless as he demanded to play. And that's all part of the incredible story of that year. I don't know that he had anything to do with any of it, frankly. And I don't know that he's ever – I'm trying to remember. He might have had a good year at one point. Didn't he have a decent year with the Cubs, I'm saying? But I can't
last
imagine
–
Was it last
2020,
year?
2020, a 60-game sample. And I know that's probably
the problem I have.
The irregularity of that season almost gave him cover for the past seasons where he was underperforming. Last year, he was pretty good. And I think that small sample size was good enough to think, okay, well, all right, you know, you're fine in right field, and you don't have to worry about this contract being an albatross. But
great defensive player. I mean, a great defensive player. It's just he's a right fielder. He's not a center fielder. He's a great defensive player. It doesn't cover for his terrible offense, but he really is. I mean, he really can do something exceptional. It's just
we're not talking about him, though, because he's a great defensive player. We're talking about him because he cannot find a way to make himself a capable offensive player. Well, and he hasn't since he came to the Cubs.
I don't even think that's the conversation. The conversation is, he's paid so much money and he can't be an offensive player. So that's, David, I think that when you have that kind of a contract, all you got to do is live up to the contract. All you got to do is, you know, be the kind of player that is good enough that you don't care what he makes. But I think that for him anyway, that contract has just dragged down whatever opinion you have of him. Because he's not living up to that deal, period, end of story. He just doesn't live up to the amount of money he's paid. No defensive player is worth that. And his bat is just awful.
2019, he hit 21 home runs in 147 games, and he had drove in 62 runs. He hit .251, and his OPS, 101. I don't know that he could live up to the contract given the terms of the contract. It's one of those deals, though, when you go back and you look at where they were when they signed him before 2016, it felt like that was the right move to make at the time. You had to overpay because you were on the verge of something special. That turned out to be true. It turned out to be true. And I know that these are the difficult seasons of overpaying for a contract, you know, at the end of it. Because at the beginning of
it,
you could justify it because of the intangibles. Because he had a team that really, that's all they needed were intangibles. Now you're at a different juncture of his career and of your growth. And you need him to be more productive. And you always thought that was coming. Because God knows how many times he's tried to make it happen. How many different iterations of the Jason Hayward stance we have seen, or the swing, or all the changes. But it just hasn't been happening. So now he's a part-time player. He's got to play that role no matter what you pay him. And if you become a seller, which I don't think we'd think they're going to be,
right?
But he would be one of those guys. Okay, you want Javi, you want Chris Bryant, you want Anthony Rizzo. Well, how about taking this off our hands as well?
We have a texter saying, he's saying, I will not go to another Cubs game until Hayward is off the team. I fear he might be playing the day I pay for tickets. Now, that is just awful. This is not a guy that you go out to see play. This is a guy you go out hoping he doesn't play. Can you give me the dates he's not playing so I can go enjoy the game?
Is Mariznick in the lineup? I'm there. You know, that's pretty sad.
It's really sad. 312-644-6767. Dan's in Rock Island. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Dan. Good.
I want to defend Jason Hayward just a little bit.
Please.
Back when the Cubs signed him, the year before he played with the Cardinals, I believe he hit around .280. Other teams were going to pay him more money. And the fact that the Cubs, or a lot of fans, despise Jason Hayward because of the amount of money he makes, that is totally unfair. That is not his fault that the Cubs are paying him that much money. Yeah, he's not playing great. I understand all that. But I just don't see the hatred that people
I don't know that there's hatred. I just think that there's – I mean, the hatred comes from the lack of value. It comes from the kind of uselessness.
Is there hatred or – I term it as frustration.
Yeah, I think it's
frustration. You see somebody that has such – enormous athleticism and potential that you see, and you just things should come more naturally to him because it looks like he can do it. And we've seen him do it. And the year that Dan was referencing was 2015 with the Cardinals, and Jason Hayward hit 293, only 13 home runs and only 60 runs batted in. He did win a gold glove. He won two more with the Cubs in successive seasons in 2016 and 2017. But I think when he came over, in fairness, in retrospect, the question wasn't, can he be a great outfielder? Check. Can he be a great teammate? That was the rep. Can he be, do they have good speed? Yes. I remember wondering aloud or writing this or whatever, but 13 home runs? Only 13 home runs? What is it about his swing? What is it about this guy where his career high at that point was 27 and remains 27? Why doesn't he hit the long ball more at a time when everybody else is hitting the home run?
Let me ask something. And I mean, this is an unpopular idea, but I don't care. As I recall, he left the Cardinals and he came to the Cubs in part because he was the centerpiece of the Cardinals. He was expected to carry that franchise. And it was too big a role for the guy, and he knew there were potential stars all over the place with the Cubs, and he wanted to join the big winner and be a part of it, not a centerpiece of it. But his value at that point was what it was, and they gave him the contract, and they thought they're hurting the Cardinals, and they're improving themselves, and they end up winning a World Series. So I think that is where his place in Cubs history is built. But the fact that he did not want to be the centerpiece player, that he wanted to join a team that was going to have other guys that could do it, didn't that underscore that maybe he knew that he wasn't that great?
Okay, I don't agree with that.
Okay.
And I think that you're being kind of convenient in that you're looking at it. You don't want to give him credit or factor in the intangibles when we're looking at what he may have brought to the Cubs in terms of a strength.
Yeah.
But you do want to point it out when you think about why he ended up with the Cubs, because that was, you know, somewhere where he thought he wouldn't have to be the guy.
Yeah.
Even though he kind of emerged as the guy. A strong voice in that clubhouse.
David, he had a failed season, and they said the reason that it resonated so much is because he had had so much failure during the year. So they thought he was a good player, and he was giving them this, like, hey, we all get down, we're going to come back, we're going to – and I'm just saying.
The point is well taken, that he became a symbol of perseverance because he had failed so often,
yes,
or often enough to have to overcome adversity,
yes,
on a regular basis.
And so we're giving him credit for his failure because he gave a good speech about it at the end of the year.
Well,
and then, you know what? If he had come back and been the same player for a couple of years, you'd been like, wow, you know, Hayward really was, you know. A guy's a great teammate.
Yeah.
And let me just ask you, is it because you're buying a suite for the catcher, the backup catcher, when you travel because you played with him in Atlanta? Does that make you a great teammate? You're thinking of others. You're sharing your wealth. You're throwing a bone at a guy, and then the guy ends up being your manager.
No, I think you call him a great teammate, or guys like Jason Hayward a great teammate, if they bring the same approach to the ballpark on a regular basis, if they are guys who don't suffer loudly, if they're guys who are, if they struggle, you don't really notice the fact that they're struggling because their approach remains consistent, and that is the big only thing they can control is their intensity, their attitude, their effort. And when you have a guy like Jason Hayward who's able to do that, you compliment that because it isn't that as common as we might think, because not every player can have that focus or that concentration. So I do think that's what I think you get when you have you hear the reference to the great teammate as often as you do with him.
I'm not saying that he's not a great teammate. I'm just saying
it's not enough.
No.
No, I agree with that. Not given what he makes, and I think that's the source of the frustration. I don't want to call it hate. I don't think anybody should hate Jason Hayward because
either.
The Cubs were.
Think they'd be better off without him. It's just too much money on a guy that isn't earning the money, and then you got a bunch of other guys. This is the worst thing in sports when you pay one guy more than his value, and then you got to dump a guy who's worth more than you're paying him. And we had a texter saying Albert Almora Jr. is a good defensive player, but he couldn't hit, so you had to get rid of him. This guy, the only thing that's kept him on the team is his contract.
You know what's frustrating?
The only thing that's kept him starting is his contract.
Absolutely. And you have Jason Hayward, who is underperforming, making $24 million a year, and you're sitting here and you're watching the salary dump that was Yu Darvish, that deal, and Yu Darvish last night became the player – the pitcher who reached 1,500 strikeouts in his career faster than any other pitcher in Major League history.
Wow.
On the same day that Kyle Schwarber, who you couldn't afford.
Player of the week.
He's got 18 home runs out in Washington for the Nationals, and you're sitting here saddled with the Jason Hayward contract and all of that represents in his underperformance. So that is a source of frustration. It doesn't have to be hate, but you can certainly be agitated by the idea that, boy, that guy's out there in right field again.
Let's try Dave. Dave is in Oak Park. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
You know, I'm a baseball idiot, but I rely on you all to help me get smarter. Why aren't you guys talking about, like, Theo Epstein? Isn't he the genius that assembled this crew? And, you know, so the guy's making a lot of money. More power to him. I mean, you know, Epstein's a guy that was a master at finding players with, you know, future value versus past performance. What about that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Theo's not here. I don't know if you follow it, but he's gone. And he did come here, and he did win a World Series. That happened. And the Cubs hadn't won one in 108 years. And he was the guy that broke the streak in Boston, and then he came to Chicago, and he did a great job putting that team together. Were all the moves correct? You know, I mean, one of the things that the Cubs did is completely rebuild their minor league system. And then they used those pieces to make trades to help them win a World Series. And then you look at things now, and there are a lot of guys you would have wanted back. But you did what you did to win at the time and to try to win again. And it didn't. Not all of them worked.
And let me try to clarify this. From my vantage point, I think this is the frustration that we're expressing, but I don't think, and maybe this is a fine line and is a very difficult hair to split, but I think you can have frustration without having regret. I'm glad they signed Jason Hayward. I'm glad
it worked.
It worked.
Right.
Theo Epstein went out and got the guy that a lot of teams wanted.
Sure.
Washington, I think, and the Cardinals maybe even offered him more. He convinced Jason Hayward to come to the Cubs because they were on the verge of making history. And
right.
They did it. So
sure,
I don't regret that move. I just am frustrated by the fact that it was as long of a contract as it was.
It's 6 years later, and it's a disaster now.
And he got worse instead of better.
Yeah.
So can both things be true?
But players can age and get worse. He was never damn good enough.
Right.
That's
he
the
never
problem.
Lived up to
no,
it.
No, he never lived up
after
to it.
After a really...
But they did win.
They did win.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, that's the defense of the player.
Rip Theo if you want, but you know what? Theo did what no other executive has done for the Cubs. He put together a World Series winning team. So I'd be very, very cautious in joining that party.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you know, this is not a bash Jason Hayward show. We're just talking about it. We're talking about the
just
Cubs.
Just a segment.
That was a bash Jason Hayward segment. You're beautiful. All right, we're going to bring in Mark Gatiss. We're going to talk to him. We're going to find out what's going on in the wide world of sports. And Mark knows a little something about stadiums, about the Bears trying to move out of town, all that stuff. We'll get his take on everything that's happening with the Bears. Maybe we'll sneak in a couple questions about what this new Supreme Court ruling means for the newly professional amateur athletes. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Jim is on the road. Hey, Jim.
I'm like torn 50-50 on this. We've had season tickets for 70-plus years. I've been going since I was 9 years old, and I'm 43 now. You know, I love driving into the city, seeing the stadium, all the history behind it. Would I love to see a new stadium that's state-of-the-art and everything? Yes, but I don't really want to lose that history and all the stuff that I grew up going to.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That was a caller from last Friday's show when word broke that the Bears were making a bid to purchase Arlington Racecourse, and the idea being they're going to build a massive stadium out in Arlington Heights because they lack, the number of fans that are being allowed in at this point at Soldier Field, and they're looking to go big, and we are delighted to welcome in Mark Gannis. He joins us on the Home Run In Pizza Hotline. Try your pizza on the grill this summer. Visit homerunin.com for unique grilling recipes and more. Great stuff, Home Run In. Mark, of course, the president, managing director, co-founder of Sports Core. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing wonderfully. How are you two doing?
Well, we love talking to you because you're one of the few guys around that actually understands this stuff and has an active role in a lot of this stuff. Help us out here. So this is obviously a very preliminary action where the Bears are involved in a bidding process to get Arlington Racecourse. We've talked about this idea. I don't know that there is another area like this in Chicagoland where you have the existing space. And I mean, my God, Arlington is huge. The back part of it where the horses are kept, where people will live during the racing season, that's a ginormous area, and they could do so much with it. You just wonder, do the McCaskies have the money? Will they have the wherewithal to be able to put up a building the size we're talking about? The speculation could be $4 billion, $5 billion. It's to get yourself a Jerry World in Arlington Heights.
Well, as far as that specific question, they could find the money, whatever the number is. I'm not sure that that kind of stadium is what would be best for the Bears and for Chicago. I don't think this needs to be a SoFi stadium like in L.A. or a Jerry's World, as you have in Dallas. But let's get to a more fundamental issue. Is a new stadium needed for the Bears? And I think the answer to that question is a resounding yes. We're in a situation where we're in the third largest market in the country. The only one that does not have two teams, L.A. and New York, both have two teams. It is arguably the best football market in the country, and the team plays in the smallest stadium in the NFL. It is also obviously the oldest, although it has been retrofitted. And it has significant limitations versus what can be done, not just economically, although obviously that's important, but also for the fans, for the sponsors, ingress and egress, other events. This is nothing new. The Bears and the McCaskey family have known this for decades. That's why they looked at Hoffman Estates. Remember when they bought the option to the land out there?
Right.
They looked at Arlington Park. They looked at Gary, Indiana. They know that there are limitations to being in a very in an area of downtown Chicago, which is incredibly valuable land. It's not just valuable financially. It's valuable because of all the other public benefits that come from having open space and parks and lakefront and that kind of thing. So looking at this and looking at it hard, it makes great sense. It may be a couple of years early, frankly, you know, with the lease going to 2033, but it's when the opportunity arises, and sometimes you can't delay it when the opportunity presents itself.
Totally agree with you, Mark. That's a great take. I do wonder this. Okay, so with the lease terms going to 2033 and the penalty for pulling out of the lease early equating to, you know, 150% of the aggregate of the financial obligation, mm-hmm. how feasible is it for them to pull out of that? Or are you suggesting that perhaps they could renovate Soldier Field again in a way that would satisfy some of the need for upgrades?
I'm not suggesting the latter. I do not believe that it is possible to renovate Soldier Field to the degree that it would be a first-class stadium for the next multiple generations of Bears fans. I just don't think that that's feasible right at that site. Now, is it feasible to build a new stadium, say, at the Lakeside Center site where McCormick Place, for that building that has been there for many years that is relatively unused? Possibly. Is there another location that's somewhere in the area? Remember, there was a whole plan for a McDome an ancient history now, when Jim Edgar was governor of Illinois, and that didn't go anywhere, although that was a big plan at the time. So, you know, the site is frankly less important than the notion that a new stadium is needed. That we need to just understand that that's the case. It's they're grappling with that in other parts of the country, like Buffalo right now. I mean,
right.
We're obviously a lot bigger than Buffalo, but they're going to have to get a plan for a new stadium as well. So it's necessary. So knowing that it's necessary, where is the best place? And in a place like Chicago, where land is so valuable, sometimes the best place is where the only opportunity may be to build it. And that's I think the McCaskey family and the Bears are being very smart in looking at Arlington Park right now, 317 acres. You need maybe 60 to 100 for a stadium, so then the rest might be able to be other kinds of development that can then be used to help offset the cost of the stadium. So you look at you have to look at things like that. So it's I don't think Soldier Field can be renovated any longer. I think we have to focus on a new stadium for the next multiple generations of Bears fans. And as far as getting out of the lease, there is a cost. There is a cost factor, but the numbers have gotten so big for building these new stadiums that it is feasible to buy your way out of it. The more likely scenario, if there is something that will take place in an area outside of the city, is that there would be a negotiated resolution that may not be on the strict terms of the lease, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less, but will be to the benefit of mutual benefit of both parties. And if it happens to be within the city of Chicago, the city limits, then you'd likely be able to have a way to get out of the lease without any such cost.
So if the Bears do end up purchasing the Arlington race course site, and you mentioned the acreage, it's incredible. Would they, without even building a building, would the franchise become more valuable if you decided you wanted to sell the Bears? And I'm not suggesting that's the case, but with the area to build, if you wanted to sell your franchise to Jeff Bezos, and I'm just throwing
yep.
stuff at the wall, would that make the Bears more valuable than not because they had the land? In other words, does this increase the value mm-hmm. of the franchise without even putting a shovel in the ground?
So that's a reason this is the best sports show in Chicago. Nobody else is asking that question, and it's actually a really good question. The answer is yes, because it shows that there are options for the future of the team that will make it more valuable. So it's a really great question, guys. I have to tell you, nobody has asked me that question since in all the discussions I've had about this. But I don't say that that's why they're doing it. I wouldn't even suggest that. The McCaskey family, the Halas family, has owned this team from its inception, and I think we should all expect that that will be the case going forward. But does it make it more valuable if there is an option like that on the table? Absolutely it does.
So, Mark, the last time this happened, 2002, they renovate Soldier Field. Taxpayers are on the hook for $432 million. And I think you look around the league, 28 of the 32 teams, I think, have public financing as a way to fund their football stadiums in those cities, in those municipalities. How do the Bears avoid that? Because that then it becomes certainly a political battle. Then it becomes even more complicated. Or is that just inevitable? You're going to have a public financing arm of this that you can't avoid.
Well, there are two types of public financing. One that is related to infrastructure and potentially land acquisition and procedural assistance. And those things would come for any major business, not a sports business. Then the second kind is public financing that could go and help build or operate and or upgrade the stadium itself. So what happened in Chicago, I mean, you could almost, this is an amazing stat, but if you look at, there's a rule of thumb. The large in the NFL, the larger the market, the lower the public sector participation in it. And if you plotted something on a graph, it'd almost be a straight line except for one stadium, this one. This one is the outlier, where it's a very large market and a very large public sector contribution. What I mean by this one, Soldier Field, and a very large public sector contribution. And that was done because of the politics here in Chicago and Illinois. It's just the way things happen. Remember the old Sean Connery line in The Untouchables? It's the Chicago way. but if you go to a suburban site, you have to be looking at something, a different kind of public sector participation, something like a tax increment financing district. So it's not direct money from hotels and motels that came through the McCormick Place Authority, which is what was used to fund or the Illinois Sports Facilities Authority in this case, which was used to fund first White Sox Park and then the Soldier Field renovations. So you'd be looking at something that would be very much more localized the new tax revenue that's being created, because you're not going to have that Chicago way happen in a suburban location. Highly unlikely.
Mark, we want to sneak in a question or two about this Supreme Court ruling on amateur sports. Did it surprise you? Did the language of the opinion, particularly from Associate Justice Brett Kavanaugh, suggest a larger lawsuit's on the way? Did it kind of secretly recommend that, given what the guy wrote?
Well, the larger lawsuit is on the way regardless of this decision. It's already in the pipeline. What Kavanaugh was wrote a concurring opinion that went far further than Gorsuch's unanimous opinion. This case, and people need to understand, this case was not about college athletes getting money for playing college sports. It was for people on scholarship being able to get other educational material and equipment to help their education if they're on an athletic scholarship. Think of a music major being able to have a trumpet or a trombone or that kind of thing that currently the NCAA doesn't allow, but that now under this Supreme Court decision, all the colleges will be able to offer to their student athletes that are on scholarship. The next set of decisions or court cases have to do with whether college athletes can make money off of their name, image, and likeness. I'm telling you, fellas, regardless of the Supreme of whether it goes to the Supreme Court, that is a foregone conclusion. Right. States have taken that, have taken over the NCAA's role in this. They've said we're going to allow it. Illinois is one of those states. The problems, there are many problems with it. So nobody should think that is a panacea. First, if there's a patchwork of different laws in different states versus a federal law, that's a real problem. Then you've got enforcement and having these kids being taken advantage of by adults. That's a big problem. Some legislations like Illinois' have that the schools have to be protectors in ways and have procedures. But how far does that go? And does the NCAA allow that to take place? But we're going to get to the point where college athletes are going to be able to get some economic benefits from their name, image, and likeness. We're very likely to see excesses that are going to cause problems. I assure you that that will be the case as we go forward. That's just part of the process, I guess. But it's the result of so much money going into college athletics that it is really hard to call at least football and basketball, the two biggest ones, amateur much longer. The coaches are paid enormous sums of money, coaching staffs, equipment, facilities. We're talking about billions of dollars each year. You know, coaches that make upwards of $11 million a year. Professional teams that have problems competing with the college ranks in the salaries that they could pay coaches. This is so it's gotten so big, in some ways out of control, that it's become patently unfair to the players, that they're the ones who are performing and they're the ones who are the most restricted. So we're going to see this court case is one part of that. It's not a big one. Again, you just need to understand how limited Gorsuch's majority decision is. Kavanaugh's concurring opinion, it doesn't really mean much. It's one guy. But we have other court cases coming down the line, and we have what's going on in the states. And I just wish the federal government would get its act together and come up with a compromise legislation so that we could have one set of rules for the entire country.
Well said.
Great. So, Mark, thanks a ton. Always a joy.
Thanks,
Appreciate it, Mark.
All right, guys. Thanks very much.
Yep,
that is Mark Gannis. He's so right about that.
Yeah. The lack of uniformity nationally creates all the sorts of confusion and a disparity that shouldn't exist.
Which will be taken advantage of in recruiting.
Totally.
There's no shadow of a doubt about that. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Let's get to a more fundamental issue. Is a new stadium needed for the Bears? And I think the answer to that question is a resounding yes. We're in a situation where we're in the third largest market in the country. The only one that does not have two teams, L.A. and New York, both have two teams. It is arguably the best football market in the country, and the team plays in the smallest stadium in the NFL. It is also obviously the oldest, although it has been retrofitted, and it has significant limitations versus what can be done, not just economically, although obviously that's important, but also for the fans, for the sponsors, ingress and egress, other events. This is nothing new. The Bears and the McCaskey family have known this for decades. That's why they looked at Hoffman Estates. Remember when they bought the option to the land out there?
Right.
They looked at Arlington Park. They looked at Gary, Indiana. They know that there are limitations to being in an area of downtown Chicago, which is incredibly valuable land.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's great to talk to Mark because obviously he knows this town inside and out. He knows the subject inside and out, and he's right. I mean, everything he said there is right. I keep hearing people talk about the negotiating power of the Bears, and they're trying to get a deal. That is not what's happening here.
Well, yeah, I think there are a lot of things that this is, and there's a lot of things that this isn't. And Mark Gannis is one of the smartest voices you're going to hear on this topic. But one of the things that this isn't, in my view, I think in our view, this isn't a negotiation ploy. This isn't a tactic. I think the Bears are looking at this opportunity that maybe they didn't anticipate with Arlington Heights and Arlington Park, and they're possibly taking a chance to seize it. And whether are they, because if you're calling it a negotiation or a negotiating ploy, then the idea is, well, they're trying to get a better deal for their lease at Soldier Field. No. Because then if they want to stay at Soldier Field? No. Not at all. Because it is a stadium they've outgrown because of the state of the NFL, because the opportunities that you have to maximize the value of your franchise. And the question that you asked him is, it was such a good question because it underscores the reality that people are kind of ignoring here. They've got to take advantage of a chance as a ownership group to maximize the value of the Bears franchise. And the minute that they buy the land in Arlington Heights, or the minute they do decide to go that direction, it increases in value. How much? I don't know, but it's a lot.
312-644-6767. That is the telephone number, the Score listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. We'll start with Jared. Jared is in Beverly. Good morning, Jared. How are you?
Pretty good. I just wanted to, you know, from a timing perspective, it's only going to be another 3, 4, 5 months tops for this property to sell.
Yeah.
And the village is not going to sign off on this to sell it to somebody that's going to sit on the property. It's
right.
Not like they're going to sell it to the Bears and then it's going to sit there unbuilt. They need the tax revenue coming in immediately, and the other 5 or 6 bidders will do that. So if the Bears buy it, it's going to move quickly.
You would think. I mean, and you would hope, because but I do think that it does.
But it's still going to take time.
It's going to take time.
That's a project. Yeah, that's a significant construction, major construction project.
I don't even know you have the architects lined up or anything. I mean, it's not.
Maybe they do.
You know, it's interesting because – if you go back, Jared, and think about when they got the deal done for the rebuilt Soldier Field, that moved very quickly because the Bears were desperate to get that done and to get into a new building, and none of it mattered in terms – they blew through whatever stoplight was presented to them. Whatever stop sign was in the way, they just kind of – forced their way through it. And if you remember, it got to a point right at the end where naming rights to the building were being sold, and it became this, wait a minute, it's Soldier Field, it's not. And the Bears were like, let's call it Soldier Field, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Like they
just get it done.
We had to get it done.
Yeah, you had to make a deal.
They had to make a deal. They had waited a very long time, and the minute they got the deal, they moved like incredibly quickly.
They had the political levers all pulled too.
Exactly.
And they had to act while that was still the case.
Yeah.
Because that's a $432 million tax burden that I don't think that this project may include. Now, there are other alternatives, as we heard from Mark Gannis. But yeah, I don't think that, you know, 5-6 months, if this happens within that time frame, the Bears would start the project as soon as is feasible, right? They're not going to wait around.
I would imagine that they'd want to move quickly.
They'd have to.
Yeah. 312-644-6767. Spencer's in North Barrington. Hey, Spencer.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
Big fan, big listener, and longtime Bears supporter. The whole thing with Soldier Field is no one really cares about the history of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked with a lot of friends and family who are Bears fans. Not one person has ever mentioned about the history or taking pictures in front of the pillars. It's impossible to get to. It's a mess when you're inside. We need this for our team. I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, look, they need more people at the game. It's that simple. They would really need to have everything, all their ducks in a row.
It's what Mark Gannis said. It's the best football market in America, and it's got the smallest stadium in the National Football League. And I agree with what the caller pointed out, but I'll just say this. They're not pillars. They're colonnades.
Look at you. You go. You make it clear to
everyone. Show some respect for the building.
We're going to bring in Tommy Hottovy next. We're going to talk about the Cubs pitching. It's Mully and Haw, the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.